If you've ever been to the eye doctor, perhaps you've had that large mechanism brought before your face with all those different lenses in it, that they flip-flop a bunch of them and to get the clearest vision you possibly can through these lenses. I have experienced this many times. I have a lot of lens work going on right here. Well, we all spiritually need some lenses to help us see clearly. And today we're going to look at three of these lenses. The first one being the lens to help us see our sin. Because we need to see our sin in order to confess our sin, which we need to do. And second, we need to see God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and believe in Him. To see Him clearly and believe. And third, we need to see all of life, meaning everything, in the light of God's Word to see clearly. And these three lenses, like that mechanism at the eye doctor, they all go together. One and two and three. It's not separate, but all together. Well, I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. You're going to recognize the third verse and maybe some more, but perhaps the most famous verse for all Christians, John 3:16. We see what leads right up to that and then what follows that here. And we're jumping in the middle of a conversation between Jesus and a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus at night to talk to him, to ask him some questions. At this point in the conversation, it's really already become a monologue, meaning Jesus is speaking and teaching. So we come in John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting at verse 14. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, Jesus speaking, he says, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." The sight of God. The first lens, again, is we need to see our sins in order to confess them. We do this every Sunday, meaning the part of our service that Jack led us in today very well, that we need that self-reflection and then confession. Well, Jesus, speaking here with Nicodemus, he refers back to the reading we heard from Jack, Numbers chapter 21. A number of things we'll learn from this scripture. But one is that we have blind spots to the seriousness of our sins. In fact, we could even back up one more step. We have blind spots to our sin. 1 John 1, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. But we all have that self-deception, that blind spot to even our sins. It's like we need God's help to see our sins and then to see the depth and seriousness of our sin. So we go back to this reference again in Numbers chapter 21 that Jesus refers to here, where they, that's the Israelites, traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Now, this is not the first time that the Israelites complained in this manner. Here they're in the wilderness on the 40-year travelogue of wandering, as it were, before, and well, for all of them except for a few, wouldn't even enter the promised land. But the first time we read about them complaining back way back in Exodus chapter 17, they've been set free from Egypt, from slavery, led by Moses through the Red Sea toward Mount Sinai, but they're actually not to Mount Sinai yet. They haven't received the Ten Commandments yet. But in Exodus 17, we already hear them, and there the word in 17 is grumbling against God and against Moses. And there they're specifically crying out for water. They say, and you know, why have you brought us out here in the wilderness to die of thirst? In this case, we're thirsty. There's no water. Well, in that time, in Exodus 17, there's no venomous snakes. The Lord actually tells Moses to take some of the elders, some of the leaders with him, and go to a rock and take the staff, the same staff that Moses struck the Nile River, the first plague, the river turned to blood, all that. Take that staff, the Lord told Moses, and strike the rock. And out of a rock came water. It's a miracle. God provided water for his people from a rock when Moses obeyed. But the Lord also warned the people through Moses and said, why are you quarreling with Moses and why are you putting the Lord, your God, to the test? Why are you putting him to the test? Well, here they repeat that sin, kind of and then some, sometime later. And this time, when they complain about the food, about the water, or lack thereof, and even about the taste of the miserable food which God is providing, it was called manna, to keep them alive, but they're grumbling. This time the Lord doesn't even speak to Moses or to them. What does he do? He sends venomous snakes. Why is complaining? They're complaining. Why is complaining so serious? A sin. I think we often don't take this as serious as God does. And not just complaining in general, but this is, it says they spoke against God. This is complaining against God and against Moses, his servant. Well, it says, on the way, the people grew impatient. Here's another one we probably don't take too seriously. We know the fruit of the Spirit includes patience, love, joy, peace, patience, right? This is God in us when someone is patient. Why is impatience a sin? And they go, it goes on from there, then they're complaining, and complaining is a sign of ungratefulness. You know, I think of the antidote or the opposite of complaining would be saying thank you. If you're saying thank you truly from the heart, it's actually impossible to complain at the same time. You can't do it. You can't do it. Your heart's in a very different place. Well, they're ungrateful, they're impatient, that is, with Moses, with God, and they're even accusing. Both times, really, they're accusing God of bringing them out of slavery in order to die. They're accusing God, you brought us out here to die. There's a lot we could talk about in these impatience, ungrateful, accusing God. We get underneath all of it. The root of what they're doing and saying, the root of all sin, really, if you get right down to it, is unbelief. Unbelief. God had told them, I will bring you into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, I will provide for you. They're not trusting, they're not believing what God had said, so they're not believing God. Psalm 95 refers to this. It says, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts as you, in this case, as they did at Meribah and Massah, this place of quarreling and putting the Lord to the test. Referring right back to Exodus 17. Hebrews chapter 4 in the New Testament alludes to the same thing, and it says, because of their, it gets right to the root of it. It doesn't say because of their impatience or ungratefulness, that those are the symptoms, because of their unbelief. They failed to enter the promised land, which in Hebrews 4 is referred to as the place of God's rest. And it connects that to, because of people's unbelief in God and his word, people fail to enter eternal rest, which is heaven, because of unbelief. It's warning against that. So yeah, we have blind spots to our sin and to the seriousness that we need cleared. Well, painful consequences can, hopefully do, remove our blind spots. Looking back in Numbers chapter 21, painful consequence. They're grumbling against God, against Moses. He sends venomous snakes that are biting them with poisonous venom. Does this hurt? It hurts. This is painful. Sometimes, due to our sin, we bring, well, I should say always, really, when we sin, we bring consequences on ourselves. And often, those consequences that we experience in the here and now are painful. Sometimes, as in this case, painful consequences are brought on directly by God himself. He sent venomous snakes among them. Did this get their attention? Did it get their attention? Yeah. Yes. And now, when the venomous snakes are among them and biting the people and Israelites, people are starting to die. Guess what? They're not complaining anymore. They're not complaining even about the snakes, actually. They're not complaining about water, about food, this miserable food. They got greater concerns now. They're not complaining. In fact, verse 7 says they are now confessing. Their attention has been gotten. They are confessing, and they say to Moses, "We sinned." First two words. "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you." This is a true confession. This is confession. It's simply saying, "I've sinned." And it's against the Lord, first and foremost and always. "I have sinned against you, Lord." Then they say to Moses, "Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. They're confessing their sin. There it is. Are they truly repenting? What does that mean? We think back to Pharaoh, you know, during the 10 plagues. There was a point when Pharaoh said, "I've sinned." Did he repent? He said, "I've sinned." So pray, like they did here, pray to the Lord that he would remove this plague. Well, Moses did pray. The Lord did stop the plague. And then did Pharaoh stay in a state of confession and repentance? No. Once again, he hardened his heart. So false repentance occurs. And we're not saying this is false repentance, but false repentance is, "This hurts. I don't like the consequence to my sin. Please take this consequence that hurts away." Then, when the consequence does go away, or even is removed by God, false repentance is, "Oh, good, now I can go right back to where I was. And the next day I might even be complaining about food and water once again." That's false repentance. True repentance is a broken heart between you and God, your heart broken. "I have sinned," almost period, "and I'm getting what I deserve." That's repentance. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins with these Beatitudes. And the first three Beatitudes are really about this heart of repentance. When he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," broken spirit. He says, "Blessed are the meek," the humble, that is, before God. And third, "Blessed are those who mourn or grieve." And he's talking about those who mourn and grieve over their own sin. "God, I'm a sinner." In Psalm 51, King David had been not in a state of repentance until his sin, the reality of it, was really brought fully to his heart. And in Psalm 51, verse 4, he says, "Against you, Lord, and you only have I sinned." Now, he had sinned against Bathsheba. He had sinned against Uriah. He had sinned against really all the people that he was king over. But this is the heart of repentance. "Against you, Lord, I've sinned." When we confess our sins, God provides relief. Usually, I think, usually not in the way we expect or even pray for. Because what did the people here pray for, or they asked Moses to pray for them? "Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. Please, get these venomous snakes out of here. That's what they prayed for. Did God do that? No. They continued. They're still there. The venomous snakes are still among them, still biting people as a consequence to their sin. Did he answer their prayer? Yes, not in the way they asked. Did he provide for relief? Yes. Along with, in fact, this is really hinged on their obedience and their faith. Right? First, Moses obeyed. Moses, servant of God, he obeyed what the Lord said. He fashioned a snake of bronze and put it on a pole, perhaps that same staff again, to be lifted up. He obeyed in faith and then told the people what the Lord had said. If you're bitten by a venomous snake, look at the snake that's lifted up. Look. What's in that look? Confession, repentance, a desperate plea, and faith. If you're looking at it, you're looking in faith, and God then healed them. Imagine that moment. I've been bit. It hurts. I know why I've been bit. But there's this snake on a pole. All I have to do is look. Look and see and believe. And I can feel the venom being removed from my system. Pain is going away, and now the last word. If they were bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, last two words, they lived. There's a lot in there. I have to wonder, it doesn't tell us here, were there some who were actually even bitten by a venomous snake but refused to look at the bronze snake? I'm guessing there probably were. Those are the hard-hearted. Those are like, what? Look at a bronze snake? That's going to save me? Mocked it, scoffed at God's word. Didn't what? Believe. Didn't believe. Were they healed? No. They didn't look. Second lens. After seeing our sins, we don't like to look at our sins. We need to see our sins clearly as God sees them in order to confess them. The second lens, again, this doesn't take away the first lens. This is now on top, you know, that big mechanism. Another lens, we need to see God's one and only Son. This is the only way and only time we're actually really going to see Him is when we know our sin. And now we can see God's one and only Son and believe in Him. This goes with the first lens because we, brothers and sisters, we've all been bitten. Meaning we all have the venom of sin running through our veins, in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies. We all do. I do. Romans 5:12 says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. In short, when Adam disobeyed, disbelieved God, and took that fruit and bit it, at that moment, it's really like the venom the snake bit into him. And through Adam, venom, sin, death to all humanity, including us. The venom of sin is deadly. But Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him, like the end of Numbers 21, verse 9, will live. We need to look. We've been bitten. We are bit. We have the venom of sin in us. We need to look to the lifted up Son. The lifted up Son. Yes, He's talking about the cross. And in this look, there is that recognition, there is that confession, I have sinned. I've been bit, the venom is in me, my own sinfulness, and a look of repentance, and a desperate cry for help as they said to Moses, "We have sinned against the Lord. We have sinned against you." And in this case, this desperate cry, "I'm dying because of my sin." And it's a look of faith, belief. You know, in verse 15, verse 16, and verse 18, three times in these four verses, believe. Jesus says that everyone who believes in him, and then that whoever believes in him, and then whoever believes in him, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him, that whoever believes in him shall not perish with that venom of sin, but have eternal life. And whoever believes in him is not no longer condemned. You're set free, and the venom is removed completely. This is God's gift. John 3:16. The word is gave. Gift word. In that verse, it's for God so loved the world that he gave. This gift. And the word for doesn't start with God so loved the world. It's for God so loved the world, meaning it's connecting back to the two previous verses. As Moses lifted up the snake, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. For God so loved. It's out of God's love. The Greek word for love, you might have heard this word, agape. Agape. There's other Greek words for love. Phileo means, you know, a brotherly, sisterly, familial love. It's a strong love. Phileo is. Agape. Talk about this. Sometimes you hear unconditional. Well, that's not exactly true or right. But this is God's love, despite the true condition of us. It's not for God so liked the world or God had a deep phileo fondness for the world. No, this is way above that. For God, agape, for God so loved the world. We think back in Numbers 21, he sent venomous snakes. That doesn't sound like love, probably. It's not how I think of love. Snakes with venom biting people, no. And yet, it wasn't the first time they complained. They'd been warned many times. It actually was tough love. I mean, that's tough. That is tough. And it was love. Because what was the point of it? To get them to look and believe and live and be forgiven and live with God. The whole point. Always, it's always the point. Anything that gets people to repent is actually love. Anything. Repentance is responding to God's love. Well, that's tough love, but when he gave his only son, his only begotten son, the only one who wasn't bit, as it were, who didn't have the venom in him, the only one without sin, when he gave him to be lifted up on the cross for your sin, for my sin, for the sins of Israel, for the sins of all people, that's not only tough love, that is the toughest love. There is no tougher love than Jesus on the cross. 1 John 4, verse 10 says, "This is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." The atoning sacrifice. This is love. Third lens. First lens, we need to see our sins to confess our sins. Second lens, we need to see God's one and only Son lifted up and believe in him. Third lens, we need to see everything, all of life, in the light of God's word. This third lens, again, overlays the first two. They all go together to help us see clearly. Confess, repent, look, believe, and live, and live. This eternal life, this salvation, this forgiveness is now. It's not beyond the horizon. You know, when they were bitten by a snake in Numbers 21, said, "Look at the bronze snake, and then farther down the line, you know, that venom might come out, or, you know, this hope is done. No, it's, you look and live. They lived. It was gone. And the end of John chapter 3, the last verse, verse 36, says, whoever believes, there it is again, believe, whoever believes in the Son has, present tense, has eternal life. Right now, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You're already in it. It's not a thing that will start when you die and leave this place. It'll be different then. But you already have it. We're in it. You've been forgiven. Life is not found here in this world. We're told otherwise in some ways, and some other things we see, and be like, oh, that's living. Ooh, there's life. Right? No. Often that's a facade. Often it might even be outright spiritual darkness, what is presented as the life that you want. And as we learn here at the end of, today's text, verses 18, 19, 20, 21, there is no mixing of darkness and light, spiritually speaking. There's no mix. There's no even, you know, blue hour, golden hour, transitional, twilight. No, there's light and there's dark. This is it. John 3:16, most well-known verse. John 3:17, pretty well-known. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, less well-known than that. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But there's a dark shadow right here, it starts. But John 3:18, second part. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. They're not seeing their sin. They're not confessing their sin. They're not seeing the one lifted up, the Son of God. They're not believing in him. They are in complete darkness. And in that darkness, they remain condemned. The venom is still in their system. They have not looked. They have not believed. They have not been forgiven. They only need to look, but they haven't. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, is under God's wrath and condemnation. People don't like to hear this. Even Christians don't like to hear it. But this is the truth. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Romans 2:5 says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Speaking to unrepentant unbelieving. Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself. Whew. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Look, believe, live, confess. But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. They actually love the venom. They love the sin. They love the dark. They love the dark instead of light. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I don't want the truth. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so it may be plainly seen that what they've done has been done in the sight of God. You know, everything actually is done in the sight of God. There is no hiding anything from God. And I'm not talking what we do out here, you know, how we look. No, I'm talking about what goes on in here, what goes on in here, what comes out of here, everything. I won't read Psalm 139, but if you need that reminder, every thought, every inclination, every attitude, every feeling, and every tear, everything, God knows. He knows. So your life already is an open book before God, in the sight of God. It is. What this is saying is when we believe in him and look to him, we're to live intentionally our life as an open book. Before God. That what they have done has been done in the sight of God, in the light of God. There's only one truth. I actually have a book by Elisa Childers. It's titled Live Your Truth and Other Lies. Your truth is not truth. My truth, Randy's truth, is a lie. The world's truth is a lie. Satan's behind much, if not, we could say all of that. He's the father of lies. That's how he operates. But it's presented as truth. And today is, oh, that's your truth. This is my truth. I'm going to live by my truth. It's a lie. There's only one truth. Only one. And it is this. This is it. John 17, 17, Jesus is praying. He prays for his disciples. He first prays for himself. He prays for his disciples, and then he prays for you and me. In John 17, he prays for all who will come to faith, all who will believe the apostles' message of Jesus, which is hopefully everyone here today. And in this prayer, Jesus prays in John 17, 17 to the Father. He says, sanctify them, Father, by your truth. So one time you can say yours when you're speaking to the Lord, your truth. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them, set them apart, put them in the light by the truth of your word. There's only one way to see it. There's only one way to see the truth, and that is these lenses we're talking about today. And that is also, we need light to see, and this is it. This is darkness closed. This is light. This is light. Psalm 36, verse 9. I love this verse, and I will close with this. It's kind of a three lenses in one verse, in a way. Psalm 36, 9 says, for with you, speaking to the Lord, for with the Lord is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. I've pondered this part of the verse many times, and I love this. It sounds redundant, and yet, in your light, Lord, we see light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see our own sin, that we may confess it and truly repent of it before you with a broken, humble heart. Lord, help us to see Jesus. The one who, though, did not sin, the one without sin, Jesus, your Son, took all of our sin on himself so that he would be lifted up on the cross and pay the penalty for us. Took all the venom really out of us, and all we need to do is look at him and believe. He took the venom, and we are set free, and we are given life. And Lord, help us to see all of life right now in this world, in our own lives. Everything in the light of your word, the light of your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.